Would you turn, please, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. I've entitled my message tonight, Remember to Remember. And we're going to be looking at a very significant passage of Scripture. Pastor Chad last week took us to the Jordan River. You remember that? He got us through that river on dry ground. It was pretty exciting. You remember God kept that water from flowing down the Jordan River at a place called Adam, and just north of where they were standing. You know, it was in the springtime, so Mount Hermon, the snow was melting, and the rains had just probably ended, but the effects were still happening. And they crossed at a time when the waters were at flood level. And Pastor Chad talked about that great miracle last week. So the God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer of all things, the one who controls the wind and the waves, aren't you thankful that he's still alive and well, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tonight I'm going to get us to the other side, and we're going to talk about what the children of Israel did as soon as they got through those waters. And we're going to be looking at a passage, as I said, in Joshua chapter 4. Let's look at that. We won't read the whole chapter, just segments of it. Beginning at verse 1, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the," this is verse 5 now, "And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for you a memorial forever." Now verse 19, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month." By the way, the first month was not January. This is in the springtime, just before Passover. "On the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." Remember to remember. A mom wrote a wonderful poem that I think is apropos to this message tonight. She says, these are the words. "One day, as I was picking the toys up off the floor, I noticed a small handprint on the wall beside the door. I knew that it was something that I'd seen most every day, but this time when I saw it there, I wanted it to stay. Then tears welled up inside my eyes. I knew it wouldn't last, for every mother knows her children grow up way too fast. Just then I put my chores aside and held my children tight. I sang to them sweet lullabies and rocked into the night. Sometimes we take for granted all those things that seem so small, like one of God's great treasures, a small handprint on the wall. Those 12 stones on the east side, on the west side of the Jordan, were a handprint on the wall. God called Joshua to set up those stones at Gilgal to help them never, ever to forget." Isn't it easy to forget? The older I get, the more forgetful I am. And where did I put those keys? Again? I've come to the point where I put obstacles in my way so that I don't go out the door until I take with me that thing I'm supposed to bring. That happened to me about an hour ago. I had to bring some papers here to give to Michael Bryan, and I put those papers at the door so I wouldn't forget. I've said a number of times recently that technology is going, progressing so much that one day we'll live to 120. Wouldn't that be great? The only problem is we won't remember our own name. Psalm 106, verses 11 to 13 says, concerning Israel's first river crossing, the Red Sea, that the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. Forgetfulness can have some serious consequences, by the way. Unfortunately, when we forget, there can be serious, grave consequences. A famous saying goes, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And we read some scriptures about this. Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. The psalmist writes in Psalm 50, verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. There's a story that comes up later. I won't go into detail because maybe we'll talk about this in future days. But do you remember that story of the battle at Jericho? And there was one man named Achan who forgot or disobeyed the words of the commander and took some of the spoils from that battle. And we read what happened. The children of Israel stoned the man. And then it says in verse 26 of chapter 7 of Joshua, then they raised over him a great heap of stones, and they are still there to this day. Sadly, we remember too many things we ought to forget, and we forget too many things we ought to remember, and there are grave consequences. Let's come back to our main text, though, chapter 4 of Joshua. We see that the 12 men have selected their stones from the river and brought them up to a place called Gilgal. I've got two friends from Canada. They're both pastors. One of them, his name is Bob Gall. And the other one, his name is Ken Gill. And they were traveling together on a tour in Israel several years ago, and they were going up the Jordan Valley, and they saw the sign Gilgal, and they said, stop the bus, we got to get a picture in front of that sign. So Ken Gill and Bob Gall at Gilgal. Now, why exactly 12 stones? I think you can guess. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here. So each stone is to represent each of the tribes of Israel. How big were those stones? We have no idea. Except there's a hint here that they were told to carry each stone on their shoulder. So they were probably pretty heavy, pretty large. Why didn't they just find some stones up on the land at Gilgal? But they were told to go into the riverbed. And you know, the riverbed was probably still mucky. It was dry enough to cross, but they had to get those big boulders out of the muck and carry them up. Well, probably they were to take them out of the river because that's where that great miracle happened. And it's part of the story to tell how God got them across that great river. I don't know how great a river that is, by the way. You've been to the Jordan River, right? Anyway, in those days, it was wider and stronger, and especially during that spring season. Well, Joshua put an exclamation point on something that you and I should never forget, and that's the need to invest in next generations. Joshua declares in verses 6 and 7 of our text that these 12 stones are to be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And then you're to tell the story of this great miracle at the Jordan River. In case we missed that important point the first time, he repeats the very same instruction in verses 21 and 22 of the fourth chapter. Now, the Israelites didn't have their iPhones to take videos of this great event, nor of these stones, but they were able to create a, shall we say, a memorial park at Gilgal. Imagine with me for a moment, the kids say, hey, Dad, as they're walking around the park, what's this pile of rocks? And Dad would tell them the miracle story, how there was no bridge over troubled waters. They crossed into the promised land on dry ground. If you're a parent, you are the primary person responsible for your children's health and growth and to know the Lord for themselves. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Ann and I have 5.5 grandchildren. We're pretty excited. Another one is in the oven. 2 more months, and we're going to have our 6th. It's pretty cool. And our sons have wonderful wives, and they teach their kids well, but you know, every once in a while, we get to teach our grandkids a few little things too. And that's what we're told to do. Grandparents get a chance also to teach their grandchildren. Psalm 78, verse 1 to 4 says, "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." Ephesians 6, verse 4 says in the New Living Translation, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Now, we know that not all parents take up this responsibility. And here's where the family of God, the household of faith, come alongside parents to help. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." And so here at King of Kings, we have a program for children and for youth, and we come alongside the parents to do our part to help in training our children to know the Lord and to obey his voice. On Thursday, right on this platform, was a presentation of the launch of a new ministry called Hatikva Families, a ministry geared to helping believing families adopt children here when biological parents are not willing or capable of raising their sons or daughters. God cares about our children and our youth, and we ought to care too. We should never have a shortage of people who are willing to say, I want to help in children's ministry. I want to help with youth ministry. I care about the next generation. You know, there's been many revivals in history. And some of those revivals turned into movements. Some of those movements turned into denominations. But historians have shown us that it's rare that these original revivals or movements maintained their influence and effect beyond 4 or 5 generations. Why? Because we too often forget to pass on the fire, pass on the Olympic torch to the next generations. Our all-wise God understood that if the leaders of Israel, if the parents would tell amazing God stories, Holy Ghost stories, then the movement would continue moving. I've been shy to tell personal stories. I don't know why exactly. Maybe I feel like it would come across as boastful. But you know what? We're supposed to boast in the Lord. Can I just boast in the Lord a little bit? Tell you a few Holy Ghost stories, what God has done. Because I want to prove to you that what we read about in ancient times of these great miracles are not finished, that God is still at work in miraculous ways. So I'll just highlight a few miracles, things that have happened in our lives. I almost died as a child. It wasn't when my parents saw me for the first time. No, I almost died as a child when my mother gave me sugared milk. And she didn't maybe know better at the time, but my skin peeled off my entire body. And, you know, I still have the effects of that to today, at least a little bit, and it's really been helpful. I haven't had to wash dishes very often, and so that's one story I do tell. My mother had several miscarriages, but one night my mom and dad were at a meeting, and the preacher, who didn't know my parents, looked out across the crowd, and he pointed at my mother, and he saw a light over her head, and he said, lady, I know you're troubled tonight, and you're pregnant, and you've had several miscarriages. I just want to tell you that you're going to have a healthy son, and he's going to serve the Lord. And that was my brother Rick, and he's serving the Lord. He's been a pastor for over 30 years, and God has been good to us. One night, our worship band that I played in many, many years ago, I won't tell you how long ago, we were scheduled to play at a congregation in downtown Toronto. It was really cold that night. Remember, it's Canada. We got to the venue early, and we were trying to get our equipment out of the back of this big car we had. But the lock was frozen. We couldn't turn the key. We couldn't get our equipment out, and we were panicking. We decided, let's all gather together and put our hands on the trunk of the car. We prayed. We put the key back in. It opened suddenly. But that's not the great miracle. We had the wrong key. And it still opened. Here's a miracle. I think it's a miracle. A little over 40 years ago, the band I played in was playing at a banquet, also in Toronto, and I was single at the time. I noticed a very beautiful young lady, and strangely enough, right after the program, she came and introduced herself to me and told me that we had some mutual friends. Found out later that she actually forgot what I looked like, but I didn't forget her. Spoke to her for about 5 minutes, and then I went home and I told my brother Rick, I just met the woman I'm going to marry. And here she is, my wife Ann. Would you stand and just show them how beautiful you really are after all these years? We married, I shouldn't be telling you this, we married 6 months later from the day that we first laid eyes on each other. Don't do that at home. There's a young Arab man who is from Jerusalem. He came to one of our Sunday night services at our services at the YMCA, where King of Kings gathered for the first 21 years. And he came into that place, and we were singing songs in Hebrew. We were talking about God's eternal covenant with Israel. And he was irked. I mean, so irked. And he's told this story many times, and I've heard it. He wanted to burn the place down. He was from the old city of Jerusalem, and he hated us. Well, just last week, I was at a conference called Envision, sponsored by the International Christian Embassy, and Bassam was there, and he told that story again. How God changed his heart. And God put the love of Yeshua into his heart. He was born again. I got a chance to disciple him in the early years. Today he's a pastor of a congregation 2 blocks from here, an Arabic-speaking congregation. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. One of the things God called us to do is to raise up people for ministry in this country. In addition to training leaders one-on-one, we began a little college called King of Kings College in our offices in Rehavia. It was just evening classes for our own congregation, but we had a vision to see a national Bible college established, and 5 years later, that college, now called Israel College of the Bible, moved into a residency in Jaffa. Now it's in Netanya. That little college now has trained close to maybe more than 2,000 Israelis for ministry, and offering degrees at the bachelor's, master's, and now doctor of ministry level. I mean, it's incredible what God has done. We give God all the glory for that. I remember we started, you know, home groups have always been important, community groups, and we started a little community group in our own home in Hebrew. And that little group grew, became a congregation. It's now a congregation of about 200 people. It's about 2 blocks down the road in a different building called Sukkot David. Half the congregation, I think, are under 15 years of age. It's an amazingly young congregation. We started another Hebrew Bible study in our home. That turned into what is now called Keilat Melech HaMelechim, a congregation of 250 or so meeting right here in this building under the leadership of Oded and Sandy Shoshani and their elders. God has been good. We should never despise small beginnings. God does great things. Tonight you're sitting in a room surrounded by Jerusalem stones. Did you notice that? We're talking about 12 stones tonight. And if these stones could cry out, if they could speak, they would tell wondrous things about what God did even in this room. This was an old beat-up movie theater, sitting collecting dust for 11 years. When we came in here, there was no electricity. There were no seats in here. It was just cement floor, no side balconies. The sight lines were different than they are today. And we came into this dark place believing that God could shine his light in here and turn a shrine to Hollywood into a pavilion of praise. Aren't you glad that God gave us this? It was a miracle. Like, believe me, before we bought this, a couple of years before we bought this, I'll tell you what our assets were. A few desks, a few computers, a few pens and pencils and paper clips. And God allowed us to purchase this place and allowed us to purchase many other places in this building, including the Jerusalem Prayer Tower, which is also surrounded with Jerusalem stone. These stones are a memorial that gives us an opportunity. It's a visual aid to tell the goodness of God, the greatness of God. I don't think a week goes by that one of the pastors isn't giving a tour of our facilities and pointing out the things that God has done. Remember there were two porn shops right outside this building? Several years ago, we were able to buy them, turn one into the Anchor of Hope Family Counseling Center. The other now, part of our firm offices. God does amazing things. He redeems, he restores, he changes lives. It's really not these stones that are so important. It's really the living stones that come into this place that are really, really important. But did you know that God uses these physical things as signs, as symbols? And Pastor Chad talked about the symbols even of the bread and the wine tonight and how it helps us remember, helps us tell our story again, remind ourselves of the goodness of God. I could go on and on with some more stories. I don't have time to do that. And I really want to base what I say on the Word of God. But I want to give praise and honor to the Lord. Why were those 12 stones set up? Yes, so that we would remember to remember. But did you know that ultimately our remembering is to lead us to worship? We remember in order to give thanks to our great God. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." In our text, we see how these 12 stones were not only for jogging our memory, but for worship. We read in Joshua 4, verses 22 to 24, how we're to tell the story to the children about what God did. And then it says at the end, and I'm going to quote from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible that was done many years before even Yeshua came to dwell on the earth. And it says at the end, our passage, in our text, "That all the nations of the earth might know that the power of the Lord is mighty, and that ye might worship the Lord our God in every work." So we recall what God has done so that he will get the glory, so that we can tell these stories not only to our children, but to all the nations of the earth. What a great call we have at King of Kings. We are called to reveal the true face of Yeshua to Israel and the nations. There's a great congregation of now almost 40,000 people in Birmingham, Alabama, in the United States. It's called Church of the Highlands. They've sent a number of short-term teams to work with us here at King of Kings. They have a great pastor. His name's Chris Hodges. And I've had a chance to be at a number of their conferences, get to know Pastor Chris, great man. They put on a conference every year called Grow, and they give practical advice to pastors and leaders on how to grow a congregation. They've done pretty good at it, right? In 17 years, almost 40,000 people. But you know, Pastor Chris has said something very important on a number of occasions that I've heard. He says that leaders want what Church of the Highlands has, but too many won't do what Church of the Highland does. And what do they do? He emphasizes the fact that on two times during the year, they have 21 days of prayer focus. The first 21 days in January are both prayer and fasting, and thousands of members of that congregation gather at about 6:30 in the morning for prayer and for worship before they go off to work. Wow. What are we called to do? We're called to seek the face of God, to thank Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. And when we do that, God blesses us in return. When we give thanks, we're to be really specific. It says this in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We used to sing a song years ago, and if some of you are old enough to remember, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." And I've made it a habit over 25 years now to every day, every morning, and I've missed a few mornings, I'll confess that, but I'm pretty faithful to it, that I have a section, and I have a prayer journal, so it's all there. And I put my thanksgiving. And I take the last 24 hours, and I specifically mention to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for doing this, doing that, changing that person's attitude, changing my attitude." Very specific. Naming them one by one. I encourage you to do that if you don't already do that. We didn't read about this tonight, but Joshua also commanded 12 men to get another 12 set of stones, this time from the land, and take it and put it in the water, well, it will be underwater, of the Jordan River. They may have been really big stones and piled really high so that you could see them above the river, but most people think they were probably buried. But you know, there are many things to thank the Lord for that you can never tell. They're so personal, they're so deep, they're so profound. Nobody will ever see or hear about it, but you know what God has done. I hope you thank God every day for those wonderful things deep down that He does in your life. Each of us have some stories to tell. God has done so much, and we need to declare it to our own spirits or our souls or to anyone around us. Here's another point I want to make. We also need not only thank God, but thank the people of God that have helped us along the journey. You know, Joshua could have put just one big boulder there and made a real statement, because there is only one rock of salvation. It could have been all about God, but instead he's told to set up 12 stones in this heap. Why 12 stones? To remember the people of God, the tribes of Israel, all the people of God with their individual clans and families. You know that we're also to give honor and thanks to people, especially those people that have blessed us. They deserve our honor and thanks. It's interesting that it says in the Septuagint, again in Greek, that these men that were chosen to go get those stones were esteemed or fit. It's a bit shocking, but we read in Joshua chapter 4, verse 14, right in the middle of our text, that on that day, God, or the Lord, exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Later it says that they feared him. Probably more correctly from the original word, they respected or honored him, esteemed him. You know, God wants to esteem even people. Some of us find it very hard to acknowledge other people and to thank them. And I don't know what it is. Are we too competitive? But God's telling us to thank people. Let me give you a few scriptures just to back that up. Some of them from the New Testament. Paul tells us in Romans 13:7 that we are to honor those whom honor is due. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. The Apostle Paul was not a lone ranger. He had fellow workers, and he acknowledged their work with him as co-laborers. Listen to this, Romans 16, verse 3 and 4. Paul writes, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in the Messiah Yeshua, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the congregations of the Gentiles. The story of the children of Israel crossing the river and setting up those 12 stones reminds me of the time that my wife, Ann, and I felt that we should go and thank somebody. We had never met this person before, but they had given a very, very generous gift to this ministry, especially for our clothing and food distribution. Several years ago, and we were in Arizona, in Phoenix, and this man had a ranch over 100 miles away in the middle of nowhere near the border of New Mexico. Well, we rented a car and we decided we're going to drive and go and thank him personally. Got him on the phone. He said, yeah, come. I'd love to see you. And you could stay with me for the night if you'd like. And we get there. He gave us very specific directions. And we got to the place where we were to turn right. And we looked to the right. And what did we see? We saw a river. And he says, you're to cross the river. Come on. There was no bridge at the river. So we called him on his cell phone and we said, we're at the river, but we're sure we're not at the right place. There's no bridge here. He said, no, you're at the right place. Just come across the river. And I said, we've got a rental car. It's not a 4x4. Well, he comes down to the river with his 4x4, crosses the river, and then he says, now, you follow me. He took his 4x4 and he kind of weaved through the river in the most shallow places that only he knew. And then we followed him and did the same weave and got to his place. I mean, he was so grateful that we came to just say thanks for your gift. Do you ever get prompted by the Holy Spirit to go and do crazy things like that, just to thank one person out in the middle of nowhere? If you get those promptings, do it. God wants us to thank those who partner with us, who are co-laborers in the gospel, whether they're near or they're far away. You know, one of the best ways to thank people is to tell them that you're praying for them. Have you ever told somebody you'd pray for them and you really meant it, but you forgot? We really should pray for those and tell them and thank them that way. I'm thinking of the other 12 stones. Do you remember the 12 stones on the breastpiece of Aaron and the high priests? And each stone was a precious stone and different in color and consistency. And the name of each tribe of Israel was on each stone. Why was it on the breast? I think it was because it's close to the heart. And I think that God called those priests to pray for those that God put on their heart, the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel. You know, God puts people on our hearts. So we ought to be obedient to pray for those people and to give thanks for them as well as to them. Peter tells us that we are priests unto God in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. Yeshua is the only high priest, and he's 24/7 standing in the gap for us. He loves us that much. I think he has those 12 stones on his breastpiece. And he knows you by name. And you know that one day we're going to get to heaven and there's going to be a stone with your name on it. It tells us about that in the book of Revelation. Stones are really significant. But it's the living stones that he cares most about. You and me. I'm going to be visiting a pastor this week who several years ago was at a conference and I just gave him my card. I think we spoke for 30 seconds. About a year later, I saw him at another conference, And he said, Wayne, I remember you. In fact, I took your card and I taped it next to my desk so that I would remember to pray for you every day. I've seen that man several times since. One of my colleagues was in his office last year and actually saw my card taped next to his desk. And he keeps on praying for me. I'm going to go and say thank you this week. It's a precious thing, isn't it? When people really pray for you. I'm coming to a close. I want to tell you tonight that God can part the waters for you. I don't know what situation you are in. Are you on the east side of the river, on the west side of the river? I want all of us to be on the west side of the river. I want us to get to the promised land. And God can get us there. He wants to get us there. He doesn't want to leave any behind. In fact, it said when all the people had crossed over, he wants all of us to cross over and come into his glorious kingdom. But you know, you can't come into his kingdom unless you cross over, unless you take a big risk. Yeah, he says, I can cross over. It's dry land, but I know that there's water up there. How do I know that water is not going to come rushing down and drown me? You know, taking a risk. It says that we ought to put our faith in the Messiah. In fact, there's no other way to be saved than to put our trust in him. We have some scriptures that tell us about that. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you would confess your sins and confess him as your Lord, if you'll say, I believe that miracle that, yes, Yeshua rose from the dead, and you put your trust in him and allow him to take you across to the other side, you will be saved. Our text says that they hurried across. They hurried across. I want to tell you, don't delay. You don't know what could happen to you tonight or tomorrow or the next day. You could be gone from this body. You may not be sure where you'll end up. But I can assure you, if you will put your trust in the Messiah, let him take you across to the other side, give your entire life to him, you'll never regret it. You'll enter the promised land. You'll enter heaven. And you will live with him forever. And he wants you with him. He created you. He's called you by name. He wants all of us to cross over. Let's hurry, if we've not done it yet, before it's too late. Everyone close our eyes for a moment. Is there someone here tonight who would say, I'm not sure where I would go. If I were to die tonight or the Lord would come again. And you need assurance. Maybe you've wandered far away, or maybe you've never even entered such a room as this and heard this kind of message. Is there anyone tonight who would say, I want to entrust my life to the Savior. I want to cross over into the promised land. Is there anyone that would say, I want to confess my sins and I want to confess that Yeshua is my Lord and be saved? If so, would you raise your hand and let me know where you are, because I want to pray with you. Is there anyone? The Holy Spirit is here speaking, convicting hearts. I'm going to linger just for a moment. Nobody feel nervous or rushed. This is so important. any of us in this room tonight convicted of sin, of wandering, of not fully embracing our calling. We've got a prayer team that are going to be here in a moment to pray with you, to help you get on track again, to walk with God, and to see great works happen through, in and through you, and experience the blessing of God on your life. Lord, I just pray right now that each and every one of us will allow your Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, whether it's now or before we go to bed tonight, or for those of us who really need to make those big choices, that you would not let us go until we've said yes to you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for inviting us to be sons and daughters and to live with you forever. May we all cross over, I pray, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Would our prayer team come already to the front and prepare to pray for those who need prayer? Maybe it's healing that you need. Maybe you've been boosted in your confidence tonight that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still does miraculous things. Maybe this is the night that you should come and get your healing, to get your breakthrough. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken and you need to be reconciled. Whatever it is, let's all stand together. The worship team will lead us. Make your way to the front and experience God's gracious invitation and see what God will do tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen.